News Time now, 12:39. There is a new study in the latest edition of the journal Pediatrics that potentially links children exposed to higher levels of a type of pesticide found in trace amounts of commercially grown fruit and vegetables as more likely to have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. Joining us now to talk a little bit about that is Dr. David Epstein with Delaware Modern Pediatrics in Glasgow. And Doctor, thank you for the time this afternoon.
My pleasure, Peter.
Does this notion, does this theory potentially make any amount of sense as far as an origin, if you will, for ADHD?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that organophosphate exposure would cause some symptoms of ADHD at low levels. We know that organophosphates in general have toxicity in all kinds of organs throughout the body, including the brain, and exposure to organophosphates has been known to cause brain damage in high levels, you know, if kids get acutely poisoned by them and so on. So it wouldn't be a surprise to hear that lower doses would give you some brain damage. Having said that, having had a chance to look at the study itself in the Journal of in Pediatrics from the American Academy of Pediatrics, the risk is approximately doubled in kids who are exposed to low levels of these organophosphates. Now, considering that between 5 and perhaps 10% of the population is diagnosable with ADHD, I don't think that this number would explain very many of the kids who are diagnosed with ADHD. And there are plenty of other possible causes of, in fact, known causes of ADHD, including heredity, number one, also excessive exposure to television, and then some other environmental factors such as maternal smoking or drugs during pregnancy and so on. This would be, this exposure, if it's true, would be one of many possible causes of the symptoms that we call attention deficit disorder.
So as you mentioned, there is that hereditary element, and it can be coupled with or joined by environmental factors, if you will, as well.
That's right. In the business, we call that a multifactorial cause, meaning that you often need more than one hit in order to cause these symptoms. The other thing to point out is that this study is a fairly general study. It's the study itself, the numbers are based on data that was collected between 2000 and 2004. So the data itself is over 5 years old. I'm not sure why it took so long to publish it. And the other thing is that if you actually look at the details of the study itself, which I've done this morning, in order to make their diagnosis of what the study authors are calling ADHD, they're only looking at one out of three pieces of information that we normally use to diagnose ADHD. Typically, we will use a interview with the parents and then information from the teachers and then the doctor's own physical exam. And this study is actually using only one of those three pieces in order to confirm the diagnosis, just a parent interview without the other two. So that potentially could make the data look a little bit less strong.
Doctor, as far as causes that are already recognized, the one that sticks out as harder to understand why it would be a contributing factor than the others, I think probably is exposure to television. But there is real proof, if you will, or real evidence that the television aspect is an actual contributor to ADHD?
Oh, there's no question in most researchers' minds. There's a study that was published a few years ago, for example, that in the same journal, actually, that looked at exposure to television in the first 12 months of life and the eventual diagnosis of attention deficit disorder in first grade. And it turns out that after 1 hour per day, every additional hour of television exposure in the first 12 months of life is associated with a 10% increased risk of attention deficit disorder diagnosis 5 years later in first grade. So in other words, a kid who is exposed as an infant to, say, 4 hours of television a day would have a 30% increased risk of diagnosis of ADD later on. And that makes sense if you think about kids who are constantly bombarded with stimuli that they can't control, you know, the loud, noisy, brightly colored television, you know, constantly bombarding them. It isn't a stretch to imagine that that would play havoc with your attention span over time.
So, Doctor, when you and your colleagues see a study like this, perhaps contributing organophosphates to ADHD in some kids, how will this, what cycle will this go through? When does something like this reach a level of something that you would then test for routinely or see if there's been exposure to? How does it get from where it is now to something that's more accepted across the field type of scenario?
Peter, that's a really perceptive question. The first thing to think about is the fact that, you know, just as we can't do much about heredity, there's a limit to, I think, what most people can do about their organophosphate exposures. You know, as long as they're not running their own garden in the back and storing the stuff in their garage where the kid can get at it, most of that exposure is going to come from perhaps the food we eat or the air that we breathe. And, of course, it makes sense to advise people to wash their fresh fruit and vegetables before they feed them to their kids. But, of course, that's not a new recommendation. I think most people do that anyway. And other than that, there really isn't a whole lot we can do about it. I'm not sure that there is an easily available test, for example, a blood test or a urine test, as was done in this study. I'm not sure that that testing would be easily available to most doctors, and if they got the we don't usually order that test, and if we got the results, I'm not sure if we would be experienced at interpreting the numbers that we got back. So I'm not sure that this would play much into the individual diagnosis. In other words, I can't imagine that anytime soon people are going to come into the doctor's office to have their kid evaluated for ADHD, and as a part of the routine exam, somebody would order a urine level for organophosphate metabolites. I don't think that that's going to be a routine anytime soon.
All right, very good. Doctor, thank you so much. Dr. David Epstein joining us live here, Delaware's News at Noon.